And welcome to Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online. I am Warren Shaw. He is the great Gary Washburn, and we are your host and resource for everything Boston Celtics this season. Gary, fresh off the West Coast tripping. How are you, brother? How you doing? Nice to be home.
Yeah, good to be home. It's one of the longer trips they've had in recent year, 10 days, six games, and obviously, a couple of time zones. So, yeah, but good to be back. And obviously, the Celtics now are home for the next 2 weeks to the first of the year, and we'll see what kind of damage they can do with seven straight home games.
Yeah, longest trip of the season. It's rough to kind of go out there, but they still have to go back out, you know, in that way to play some of those other fun West Coast teams as well too. But our predictions, we're a little bit off. You know, they got handed to them by Golden State, and then really handed to them, I think, by the Clippers. But we'll get into that in a brief second. So first, we got to pay some bills, let you know all about the great Bet Online, and we'll be right back after that. Basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, Bet Online features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. And we're back here now on Believe in Celtics. So, Gary, let's just recap really quickly the West Coast trip. Your thoughts on there, too. I tried to be bold and jump out the window and say that they would kind of sweep it out, say 6-0. My heart wasn't really in the Golden State one, but I was, nah, they're going to do it. But really, kind of maybe a more disappointing loss against the Clippers to some degree. Kawhi played the best game of the season. First time he scored 20-plus points in 500 days or something crazy like that, too. And then a just ridiculous back-and-forth game against the L.A. Lakers. You know, obviously the rivals out there in the purple and gold. Your thoughts from those three games, you know, maybe touching on Golden State kind of quickly, briefly, and then we'll move into L.A., both L.A.'s, you know, before we go to break again.
Yeah, I thought it was a kind of a disappointing effort against the Warriors. The Warriors played one of their better games of the season. I think they freely admitted that they defensively, they were on lockdown. Klay was, 2016 Klay. Curry dropped his 30. Ball and the rest of the guys also did well. They just started from the jump. Just the Celtics never really got control of the game. They had their chances and then they rallied and then they just kind of slipped toward the end and then ended up just, kind of throwing in the towel there. A disappointing effort considering, Warren, national TV, first ABC Saturday night game, rematch with the Warriors. The Celtics really wanted to make a good impression to their perception as the number one team in the league, and they didn't. Jason Tatum just seemed like he wasn't quite there mentally, missed a couple of free throws, missed some really open looks, missed a open look, then rebounded it, and then missed the layup, the put-back layup. He couldn't buy anything. And the crazy part is, Warren, Andrew Wiggins was nowhere to be found. He was hurt.
Exactly.
He was not in the game. So, it was Klay and a group of other guys, Draymond and other guys, that kind of shut them down. So I thought an overall disappointing effort considering the circumstances, the fact that the Warriors, very good team at home, not a good team on the road, but a team that's still 500, a team that if you're the Celtics, you should win that game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think more than anything else, the effort was disappointing. And again, not to relitigate it, because by the time this show comes out, it's almost be a week old, from that game. But just, kind of doing our due diligence here on Believe in Celtics. I think they did want it maybe a little bit too much, and that showed. I think you wanted to probably get some sort of, not necessarily a mental edge, but maybe just overcome a little something on the Celtics side, by getting that. So they'll get another chance here against Golden State here, I guess, next month. Let's fast forward now to the Clippers game. So you and I had some spirited conversation about Kawhi, PG, et cetera, their relation to Tatum and Brown. And, even to some degree, Tatum and Brown passing those two, in the hierarchy of kind of NBA duos. And that's still very true. But we did get some vintage Kawhi, you know, in this game, and the Clippers just did. I mean, the Celtics just didn't look right, you know, really kind of from the jump as well, too. Clippers really kind of had control of that game throughout. What were your thoughts on that one, too, before we move on to the wildness that was the Laker game?
Yeah, I mean, Warner, I thought that they would come into that game with some real fire, wanting to atone. And I think they played pretty good, you know, for about a quarter. And then suddenly they got kind of sidetracked. And then the Clippers started making a big run. And then you know, I think the Celtics trailed by 9 at halftime. And you thought, okay, well, and I think the Celtics came out and cut it to, you know, hit a quick hoop, and it was like, okay, to open the third quarter, and like, okay, they're back. And I think then the Clippers went on like a 10-0 run, and all of a sudden the lead was 16, and you're just like, wow, like they're about to get blown away here. Like they don't – it seemed like they didn't have enough to make a big run and make a big rally like they're capable of. And I just thought not only – like Kawhi was very good, but Marcus Morris – didn't seem like he, I think he was 8 for 10, something like that, 7 for 9, in addition to Kawhi's 10 for 12. Paul George was not as efficient as those two guys, but he made some plays. And then just, I mean, you know, what was disappointing, Warren, was the officiating, not the officiating itself, but the Celtics' reaction to it, you know, complaining about calls. Grant complained about a backcourt call. Luke Kennard just steps up. You know what, their best 3-point shooter, it just knocks down an open three, an out of bounds play that they were thought that went off the Clippers, and they were arguing their whole bench, and then suddenly there's Terrence Mann kind of sneaking right into the basket for inbounds layup, like stuff that's inexcusable, right? Like, get your head in the game, stop worrying about, oh, we're getting screwed by the officials and that type of thing. Referees are going to make bad calls, they're going to miss some things. They're not going to call all great games. And as we know, Warren, I mean, the Joey Crawfords and a lot of these great officials of now, Monty McCutcheons, and they've moved on. They're no longer in the game. You know, they're working with the league or something like that. So right. You got a lot of influx of new officials, inexperienced officials who are just not as good yet. You know, they haven't had the reps. They, you know, they've got guys in there you've never heard of, or you look at a media guide. Some of these guys are 30 years old. I mean, you know, you always viewed the officials in our day as the 50 somethings and the 60 somethings. Right. But now some of these officials are 29, 30, 31 years old. You know, so you got to give them a break, and you got to expect that they're going to miss calls. And you, if you're the Celtics, you got to be a mature enough a team, because this is what they've done the last couple of years, to stop complaining during the damn game, complain at the timeout, you know, do something. So I thought they lost their mental edge a little bit in that Clippers game, and then they got frustrated, and the Clippers never let up. The Clippers hit big shots. The Clippers, you know, defended well. You know, Brown, I thought, was solid. Tatum was not. And so another disappointing loss, considering 2 days after the Clippers get the Warriors game, you thought, okay, they're going to go in here. You know, the Clippers are coming off a long East Coast road trip, their first game back. So you thought maybe the Celtics would catch them a little bit slipping, a little bit tired or fatigued, but it was exactly the opposite.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and transition now to the Lakers game, which was just absolute chaos. You know, and I think as you talked about Golden State and the Clippers previous, you saw some of the old bad habits of Boston. So they still have like hints and tints of, you know, of those kind of things that made them struggle to begin last year specifically. And then some of those demons, as you saw against even the Warriors in the finals. But in this Lakers game, all right, last game of the trip, you're trying to get back home, kind of get through it. Rivalry game still on. It was on TNT or whatever the case may be. It's the Lakers, right? So you're going to get their best effort. But I remember us discussing that was a game you were least concerned about last week, you know, of it. And, you know, the Boston Celtics seemed like they were handling business. Then all of a sudden they go from up 20-22 to down 13 and then make a miraculous comeback and then are able to kind of pull it out in overtime, where Tatum was struggling those first two games, drops 44, I believe, you know, against the Lakers. Jaylen solid yet again, you know, kind of throughout, and really just kind of, it's a heartwarming win to some degree because you had to pull it out. But the pessimist in me it's kind of like it shouldn't have been that difficult, especially when you had the game in control and then really let go of the rope and had to, you know, have miraculous comebacks on one hand. You're excited that they were able to be able to do that, show the mental fortitude and wash away some of the struggles from the previous two games. No timeout, Joe, or whatever he's being called right now. Let some runs go and all of that. Your thoughts on the Lakers-Celtics game that went to overtime and ultimately went in Boston's favor, but just some of the struggles that you might have saw throughout it. Again, as you predicted, that shouldn't have been as difficult as it was.
Yeah, Warren, I thought it was one of the bigger wins of the season, and not because they beat the Lakers, because the Lakers are down. They're 11-16. They're not, you know, our Lakers or our brother's Lakers or our dad's Lakers. These guys are, you know, going to be struggling to make the play-in. I thought it was good to end the trip because you didn't want to end the trip having been beaten by three Western Conference teams, all on, you know, pretty much on national TV. I think the Clippers game was on NBA TV. So, you know, the entire country was watching the last three games of this trip. And then obviously the Phoenix game was on ESPN. So, you know, the world was watching, you know, the NBA world, I would say. And you wanted to end that with a win. The Lakers, I thought, were done, looked dead, down 81-61. But the things I saw of concern, Warren, was playing around with the game when you're up big. You know, Marcus pulling up the threes, like they started messing around with the game. And that's what gets you beat, because it's those little mini runs, the 7-0, 6-1, you know, to bring a team from 18 to 12. Then suddenly, you know, bad things happen and it's six. Then you're in a ball game. Like that's how it happens. You know, the Lakers went on an 18-0 run, you know. I think it was 88-74, and then the Lakers scored 18 in a row to go up 92-88. I mean, they went on a 45-12 run. That's unprecedented. And to win that game, I think says a lot. But that, like you said, it shouldn't have got to that point. Like, you got to put away a team that was discouraged. They were down. The crowd was like, oh, here we go again. The home team is getting blown out. And then you just gave them a little glimmer of hope. I just didn't like their reaction to the big lead. Bad offense, you know, chucking up threes, trying to be cute, trying to show the LA crowd, look, we could shoot, we're gonna blow you out by 30 now. Watch. Here, you know, here's Grant taking a three, here's Blake taking a three, here's Marcus with a pull-up. They're like, no, stick to the game plan, move the ball, get the guys who can score in scoring position, and you know, finish these guys off. To make it easier on yourself, so you can get the fourth quarter off. Everybody can rest and then head on back home for a long homestand. Instead, you let LeBron and those guys. I thought the key, Warren, was actually Lonnie Walker IV. Like he had a couple of plays in that thing. Had a three in the corner and had a breakaway layup, and it was just like, okay, it's now 13. Then the Celtics started botching their offensive possessions, turn over the ball way too much, just being careless. And then suddenly it was seven. And then the Lakers smelled blood. And then all of a sudden they took a 13-point lead. It was unbelievable. But then you come and it's 3:40 left. You're like, okay, these guys are done. This is going to be a horrible locker room to deal with. These guys are going to be like, upset now. This five and a half hour flight home to think about their three consecutive losses. They look bad on three consecutive nights on national TV. In a 3-3 road trip when you start 3-0, and then they just chip away and come back. AD misses those two free throws, huge. And then the Celtics became themselves again, and then took over. And the Lakers were gassed. I was at the game, and you could just see the fatigue, like. Darvin Ham really wanted to win that game. I think he played LeBron and AD both 40-plus minutes. Like, you know, especially LeBron. LeBron can do it, I think, for a strong 35, 36. You start getting into the 40s with him, and, you know, a couple of weeks from his 38th birthday, any athlete at 37 years old is going to be sucking wind after playing 40-plus minutes. It just that's the way it is. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So I thought a good win considering the repercussions if they lost, and it gives them momentum to come home for their homestand. And now they can figure some things out with how to play with a lead, how to be a little bit more poised, not bitching at officials, and stop playing around when you have these big leads. They get to that Globetrotter thing. Like, this isn't the Globetrotters. You're not playing the Washington Generals. Stop with the trick plays, with the improbable passes, with the no-lookers. You're trying to put on a show. Do not score. Beating them by 30 will be show enough. You don't need to put on a show like you're playing a bunch of amateurs. That's not how it's done. The NBA gods, the basketball gods, will pay you back dearly for messing around with the game. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I think those are all great calls there. You know, as Boston, as I alluded to in my outset, is it's a bittersweet win because it shouldn't have been as hard as it was, but at least they still got the dub and they showed able to some fortitude and able to kind of pull it out. And again, basically salvage the trip. I think there's a lot of things you can pull from that, especially after being up as much as they were. So you just want to kind of close it out. Like you said, get that rest. But if you start kind of disrespecting the game as they did, you know, that's what happens. And, you know, again, if AD doesn't miss those two free throws, like, we're not having the same conversation right now. So that really is, you know, fortuitous bounces, if you will, for Boston. But credit to them for being able to get it out. And, you know, Joe Mazzulla, you know, trying to figure it out with his team and roster. One thing will be said about that, you know, Horford didn't play, you know, so you're still, you know, kind of short staffed there on the front court as well, too. And Boston has been able to win without certain guys here, too. So not putting too much into that, so to speak. But, you know, with the Celtics now looking to potentially be fully healthy, maybe better days are still to come here, despite them still having the league's best record. So on the other side of this break, we'll talk about the upcoming games against Orlando Magic. But most importantly, I wanted everybody to know my guy, G. Washburn, was correct. And last week's show predicted that Time Lord will return here Friday night against Orlando Magic. So as always, before we get to that, make sure you're following us on Twitter at G Washburn Globe. Follow me at Shaw Sports NBA. Rate, review, subscribe, follow everything on the Believe Network. And we'll be right back here on the other side of this break here by Believe in Celtics, brought to you by BetOnline. And on this week's segment of Geno Time, we are discussing the return of Robert Williams. We'll also preview the two games, the mini-series. I don't really like these things, Gary, these mini-series against these team in the Orlando Magic. But first, let's talk about Rob Williams returning. When did you know, that it was going to be the case? You know, did you get some insight? I didn't get to see if you got to scoop Woj on this one or whatever. But, you know, I was at my full-time job, but it came and I was like, man, look at, I knew Gary was on point with it. I get the news from Woj, but when did you know specifically that Rob would be back this Friday?
Well, you had the feeling that he was close, but as I said, on the road trip, the three high-profile, high-intensity games, I don't know if you wanted to bring Robert back for 15 minutes, you know, in a game that had a lot of just up and down, like guys are going at it, you know, in those Clipper Warrior Laker games. The Magic, though, nothing against the Magic. Obviously, they're a rebuilding team, but it's at home. You just figured with a good break, you know, Tuesday to Friday, they got two full days off. Robert probably has been working in the gym the last couple of days. Even though the team is off, he's probably been in the gym working in front of the trainers and the coaches, and you know, they determined he was ready. And I just knew that it was going to be a low profile game. It's a perfect situation, Warren. Friday night game against a kind of a struggling team. Not to say that they're going to coast, but you can test giving him 15 minutes, you know, and seeing, hey, maybe he's effective, maybe he's not effective, as long as he's healthy, over throwing him in against the Warriors or against AD in the Lakers. You know, you put him in against a team that's, you know, that he can probably compete a little bit better with, a lot of young guys in that Orlando team. So I thought it was a perfect situation. So I heard about it today. And then obviously when the Celtics listed him as questionable, you figured, okay, as long as he goes to that pregame workout tomorrow at the Garden and comes out and says, hey, no pain, I'm good, I think he's rarer to go. And it's a perfect situation. You know, no back-to-backs on this thing. So he can get days off. He can play. You know, will he get a game off or two? I'm sure he will. I'm sure they'll rest him for one of these games. But, you know, you look at the homestand, you know, two games against Orlando, then Indiana, then Minnesota, without Karl-Anthony Towns. And then you got the big game against Milwaukee. So if you want him to play in that Milwaukee game, you need to get him some reps. And yep. I think these four games are the perfect opportunity for them to get some reps, and then they can see how they fare against the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of just see how it looks. And as we alluded to last week, like, there's no reason to, you know, play him plus minutes right now. It is kind of get him out there, like you alluded to, get a feel for the game, you know, obviously step up on the defense, rebound, block shots, cap stops, or whatever the case may be. They don't run a lot of, like, initiate offense for him anyway. And just kind of, yeah, work your way back. And really, really hoping that he can turn the defense around to some degree while they have played better. We know he really is, like, the linchpin to that, obviously, alongside Marcus Smart, too. So Smart on the perimeter, you know, and Time Lord, they're kind of on, you know, in the backcourt, in the frontcourt, rather, protecting the rim. Orlando's been playing good basketball, though.
Yeah.
We record now, four games. They actually won four straight, and this just seems bananas considering all the injuries that they've had as in a roster, too, and they've just had people rotating in and out, or they've been able to find a certain level of consistency now. So maybe not quite the, you know, cupcake game that Boston was hoping for, maybe even so a week or so ago. But I think, you know, still you're the best team in the Eastern Conference, at least record-wise. You know, you go here and handle this, especially at home, and they've had a really, you know, they've been really good at home, obviously, better, especially offensively. What do you feel in some ways is a barometer? Like, how will you know that he's good to go in Robert Williams? Like, is it just the look and feel, so to speak? Is there anything statistically, you know, that you've been looking for him to do? Or is it really just kind of the intangibles and really just seeing his impact defensively, you know, not regardless of what the statistics may say in his minutes played?
Yeah. I think as long as he's pain free, getting up and down the floor, he's not favoring the leg. It looks strong. You know, I think that's a good positive sign. You know, he doesn't need to, you know, I don't need to see five slam dunks or eight block shots. I don't need to see, you know, Shaq part two out there. Just run up and down the floor, get a good sweat. You know, I'm sure he's going to get tired because there's nothing like playing in an NBA game. But as long as he's okay in terms of his physical conditioning and that knee is sound, I think those are both good signs. And then you'll get the production later.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And hopefully there are no setbacks. And, you know, again, they can just really ease him back into it. Blake has been solid in the minutes as he's need to play. Is Al supposed to be back this weekend? What are you hearing on there?
Yeah, Al will be back Friday. Had some personal things, but and out of the health and safety protocol. So they will be full, except obviously Danilo Gallinari. They should be full against the Magic. And the Magic, as you mentioned, Warren, a very interesting kind of up and down rocky season here. Like, they lost their first they lost seven of their first eight, then they win three of their next five, then they lose, we see here, 11 of their next 12, and then they win four in a row, including, I mean, and they didn't beat cupcakes here. Overtime win against the Clippers, who just handed it to the Celtics.
Right.
Two home wins against Toronto. You know, shows you a lot about, you know, them competing with the Raptors, and then a very impressive home win against the Atlanta Hawks where they scored 50 points in the first quarter, and they scored 135 for the game. So, like you said, Warren, this is not just Cupcake City here. This is not the Boys Club or anything that, you know, the YMCA team. This is a legit team with some good young players. Franz Wagner, the last couple games, 24 points, 23 points, 34 points, 25 points. Like, he is taking that next step as a second-year player. Paolo Banchero playing well as a rookie. You know, and here's the storyline, Warren, that, like, Bol Bol, remember, he was briefly a Celtic.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics kind of gave him to Orlando, you know, because no one knew really – like, he had that stint in Denver right before the bubble, and then where he was just playing really good ball, showing his potential, hitting threes, running the floor, blocking shots. Then he got to the bubble, and the Nuggets really didn't play him. I don't know what happened in Denver. Then he got hurt. He hurt his foot.
Yep.
And then the Celtics made kind of a cap-clearing trade with the Nuggets to get him. And then they traded in Orlando to clear some space, but – now, I mean, I think the Magic signed him to like a 2-year, maybe, you know, $9 million, very cheap economical deal. And now he has blossomed for that ball club. I mean, that is just – that's the storyline that we must talk about. I mean, 12.7 points, 7.4 rebounds, 1.2 assists. I mean, this guy, you know, it's taken him some years. He's – but, you know, these guys come out so young. He's only 23. You know, 1.8 blocks. I mean, he has just come out and been a, you know, 42.6% from three. You know, he doesn't take many threes, but when he does, he hits almost half of them, 60.4% from the field. So that's one of those trades that maybe down the line the Celtics might regret, because you might have – I think there was an injury. I remember him being – and they're like, well, he's got the foot injury. But I think you would have liked to have seen them – kind of see what they have in them. Maybe did they really have to trade them? I mean, was that essential to building their roster? You know, could you have signed them to a little minimum deal, sent them to the G League, and then, you know, what would you have had in that guy? That's the intriguing part, is that, you know, this guy looks like he could be a real cornerstone down there, you know, and that's the thing. So that would be interesting to see, you know. I'm sure, you know, we'll talk to Brad about that, and we'll see what the Magic think of him. But that's a player that a lot of people don't talk about, was a Celtic, and they kind of gave him away. There's also a guy, Moses Brown. Remember, they got in that Oklahoma City trade with Kemba, and I thought – I mean, I don't know if you remember that game a couple years ago, Warren. It was kind of during the pandemic. Moses Brown had 19 rebounds in the first half against the Celtics when he was playing with the Thunder. Like, I have never – like, I've seen some incredible performances, Warren. You know, I've seen some great players. I've never seen a guy pull down 19 rebounds in the first half. Like, he was literally Will Chamberlain out there. I mean, I think he didn't play a whole second. I think he finished with, like, 25 or something like that. But it was like, I could not believe, and you know, this dude pulled down 19 boards in the first half. And he was briefly a Celtic, and I was like, why not take a long look at him? You know, but they moved him to Dallas, and now I think he's with the Clippers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that type of stuff happens. But, you know, you see some of these guys that pass through Boston, the Max Strus and guys that, you know, have made it other places. But Bol Bol might be one that they might regret down the road.
Yeah, I would kind of tend to agree with you. I mean, and if you're paying attention to the NBA like you and I are, you know, Bol Bol is garnering, I think, some most improved player conversation, and, you know, right now, and, you know, is maybe even the leader in the clubhouse in that space. He didn't actually get to play for Boston per se, so I don't know if there's revenge game on the mind, but there still might be like, hey, I could have been on this roster. And you gave up on me. And I agree with you there. Like, and it's funny you mentioned the Moses Brown situation, because maybe I'm a Moses Brown apologist, so to be. I understand he has a role to play in the NBA. You know, again, he's not a superstar or anything like that, but he can be a plus rebounder, as you alluded to, can block some shots and things like that too. It could, you know, very much spell, you know, at this page, would you rather have Moses Brown or Blake Griffin? I think that's an argument. Yes. But returning it back to Bol Bol, yeah, I was a little disappointed. I think, you know, I was excited when they got him. I was like, they paid nothing to get him. And then they gave him up for exactly nothing as well, too. Yeah. And I thought it was still a peculiar move for Orlando at the time, knowing that they have Jonathan Isaac to eventually return. Who knows if he does actually ever return. But then, obviously, you know, Mo Bamba, who I didn't expect him to resign, and then Wendell Carter Jr. So they have a lot of like, long-rangey guys. Obviously, you know, John Horst, that's what he loves out there, and then Orlando as well, too. But I feel like Boston might have just given up on him a little bit too early. So interesting to see over the course of this weekend what happens with Bol Bol, and does he take out exactly any type of revenge, or is it just another game? And at the end of the day, it could be because he's playing well, right? Yeah. So there may not be anything special. It's just like that just might be who he is right now. Especially, you know, again, you know, what did he do like the last game? He got a rebound, took it coast to coast, yammed on somebody. You know, he's screaming all over the place. He's playing really great basketball. They got Holt back now as well too. So these two games against Orlando are going to be they're going to be a test. Yeah. they're going to be a test. So Boston cannot take anything lightly, despite being at home. And the first game against Orlando was a struggle as well too. They pulled that
stop,
one out.
They couldn't stop the Magic. I mean, this is without Suggs. I think Suggs was hurt, but you know, they couldn't stop Banchero. They couldn't stop Wagner. They won 126-120. So yeah, it was a shootout. And obviously, as we know, Warren, like, their defense, in mid-October, late October was light years from what it is now in terms of technique and execution. But yeah, I think they're smart enough not to take this. You know, remember Cole Anthony's back after missing some games with some injuries or whatever. Markelle Fultz is back after missing a good chunk of the first part of the season. So, you know, you never underestimate good, young, hungry teams, right? This is a big test for them. I mean, I'm sure their coach is like, listen, let's get one of these games. You know, why do we got to get pounded? Let's not, you know, we're not chumps, you know, and coming off four wins in a row. Now they're looking like, okay, you know, first you're like, okay, I guess they're headed for the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. And now maybe not, you know, we'll see what happens in the lottery. Cause I don't think they're a playoff team obviously by any means, but they're a team that you can't sleep. You know, they beat the Warriors at home. Obviously, two wins against Toronto, beat the Clippers at home. So this is a team that will sneak up on you and beat you.
Yeah, I agree with that 1,000%. And, you know, hopefully Boston will be up to the proverbial challenge here over the course of the weekend. Two games against the suddenly hot Orlando Magic. And it's much different when you're now the hunted, right? You know, Boston, I think, you know, was able to sit back for a good majority of last year and then kind of turn it around, as we've alluded to on the show already. But they've come out hot with a point to prove. And now people literally get up for them. You know, I watch, you know, League Pass all the time, and, you know, and it's like, oh, the Celtics are coming into, like, it's a highlight situation for every team. So I think, you know, with the opportunity, especially with Rob coming back, Orlando's will be like, great, you know, more incentive for us to beat y'all. So hopefully Missoula will game plan, the defense will tighten itself up, and Boston can continue to execute their offense at a high level, shooting the three ball in the way that they do. That will do it for this week's edition of Believe in Celtics. We'll be back next week to talk about Pacers, T-Wolves, and everybody else on the schedule, and recapping hopefully what will be two wins. We're going to stay away from the predictions this week. You know, that got us in trouble. We want no part of that right now. We'll just see how things go and pray that the Celtics play great basketball. He is Gary Washburn. Make sure, again, you're following him on Twitter at GWashburnGlobe. Follow me on Twitter at ShawSportsNBA. And this has been another edition of Believe in Celtics. We will catch you next week. And don't forget, we're sponsored by BetOnline. All right, y'all. Peace. We'll be right back.